Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. The legendary Aretha Franklin died today at her home in Detroit. She had been battling pancreatic cancer. Aretha Franklin was 76 years old. We want to spend some time today remembering the Queen of Soul, and we have a few guests joining us to do that. Renee Graham, who's columnist for the Boston Globe and a WBUR contributor. Renee, thanks so much for being with us.
Hi, Deborah.
Also with us, Sue O'Clair, Director of Marketing and Communications for the Cabot in Beverly. She worked with Aretha Franklin in your role as former Director of Public Relations for the Newport Jazz Festival, Folk Festival, and Rhythm and Blues Festival.
Yes.
Sue,
hi.
Thanks for coming in.
It's great to see you.
So, Renee, let's start with you. We're going to talk about specific songs. We're going to hear more of this lovely music in just a couple of minutes. But first, tell us what Aretha Franklin meant to you personally.
You know, Aretha Franklin has been there, it feels like, my entire life. I was 5 years old the first time I heard Aretha Franklin because my mother was a big Aretha Franklin fan. And so I was used to listening to and seeing those, you know, 45s on the Atlantic label, that red and black label, playing sort of all times of the day and night in my household. The voice just moved me. It was a church voice, but it was a church voice in a secular setting. The difference, though, was that she never sort of scraped off she didn't try to tone down her voice for pop radio. You know, what you got was an Aretha Franklin voice in every kind of setting of music. And that was what made it really remarkable. It was just the most extraordinary voice, the tenderness, the ecstasy, the power. The glory, there was just nothing else quite like Aretha Franklin's voice.
Hmm. Why do you think she had the staying power, too, that she had? I mean, we're talking a career that spanned several decades, right? I mean, she really was able to maintain that powerful voice and career through the decades. Why was that, Renee?
You know, talent survives. You know, I think that's a big part of it. And, you know, she was also this kind of bigger-than-life personality. You know, even when she wasn't putting out hit records, she always stayed in the public consciousness. And, you know, she might be in an award show. She would do an anthem at a sporting event. It didn't really matter. You wanted to see what Aretha was going to do, what Aretha was wearing, you know, how she would throw her fur off. You wanted to listen to her play piano. There was so much going on there that, I mean, look, you know, she was one of the first, you know, single-name superstars, Aretha. Hmm. You know, she was the first woman in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, that is the kind of power of Aretha Franklin, and that's why she had a career that was sustained for 50 years. And you know, 50 years from now and 50 years beyond that, people will still be talking about Aretha Franklin.
Right. You know, it's probably the question that no one ever wants to answer, but everyone is always asked. Okay, favorite? You have a favorite time that you remember of Aretha? I want to ask Sue O'Clair this question, too. Favorite?
Well, when she came out with Respect,
right,
that was an amazing song.
Right,
that was huge.
In the 60s.
Was it the
1967.
60s? Yeah.
It was 1967, yeah.
And it almost was like a women's liberation, you know, her sexuality was like bigger than life, you know, and it was the time of revolutions, you know.
Right,
And to sing about that was amazing.
I just wanted to quickly interject, you know, the main things about Respect was that was an Otis Redding song. Hmm. Otis Redding had written and recorded that song a year before. It was Aretha's arrangement and her whole, you know, the spelling of the word and the Sakatumis at the end of that song that made it so memorable. And, you know, Otis Redding, shortly before his death, would joke, you know, that girl stole my song. Because he knew that song would never belong to him again after he heard Aretha's version.
So this is the perfect excuse for us to play a little, right? We need to hear a little bit. Let's hear it. A Okay, I want to share my favorite performance of Aretha, because I've watched this online so many times. The 2015 Kennedy Center Honors of Aretha with her rendition of You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. Everybody must know this by now, right, Renee Graham? You know this,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
Carole King's in the crowd going crazy. President Obama's moved to tears. And, of course, this is a great excuse to listen to some of that, too. Let's listen. How can you not get the chills just listening to that? Renee, why do you think this performance was special? I'm assuming you agree with me here.
You know, I mean, people kind of forget. No, Aretha was there to honor Carole King, who wrote that song. And she came out in that very Aretha way. She's got this massive fur coat on. She sits down at the piano, and then she gets up, and she is just putting everything into that song, not just for herself, but to honor Carole King and to honor the Obamas who were also there, because it was the Kennedy Center Honors, and Carole King was being honored. I mean, it's like that thing. It's, you know, she closes the show, and if you were watching it in your living room, you were on your feet cheering. You were jumping up and down, because, you know, at that point, you know, Aretha Franklin's in her 70s at that point. She's been doing this for over 50 years, and to give that kind of performance in front of that audience where you've got politicians and other artists, and you are wowing everybody. I can't think of many other people who could have pulled that off.
Right. You know, and I think this is probably a good time to bring up her work in the civil rights movement, because this was very important to her. And she did a lot of work that she wasn't well known for, I think. Right, Renee?
You know, it's interesting. You know, Aretha Franklin was very plain about this. She called herself a singer and entertainer. She never called herself an activist. However, she was integral to the civil rights movement, not just because the movement, you know, adapted respect, but because, you know, she marched with King. She sang at Martin Luther King's funeral. In the 1970s, when civil rights activist Angela Davis was in jail, Aretha Franklin offered to get, you know, bond her out. And she said, I don't care if it costs $100,000 or $250,000. Black people will be free. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are the things she did. And she did it in some ways kind of quietly. You know, she wasn't, you know, on TV always talking about it, but she just knew the work she had to do. And she went about her business and did it.
Sue O'Clair, as we said, you know, you worked for the Newport Festivals and you worked with Aretha Franklin. What was that like?
Oh, it was, for me, it was an amazing thrill and an honor. I adored her, and it was so exciting to have her at Newport.
Yeah.
And I have a couple funny stories.
Oh, sure. Well, that's what we want to hear.
Well, if we can possibly laugh at this time, it's a mix for me, you know.
Right.
But
You've got your tissue in the studio.
Yeah, I got the tissue ready here. But we were backstage at Newport. Renee was probably there one of those years, maybe not at that one. But I had a lot of people wanting interviews with her, and there was no word from her publicist, Barbara Shelley, before the festival, so we had to kind of wing it backstage. And then I finally made friends with her brother, who handled these things, and he said, okay, you can only have six people, and they get one question each, and you run the show. Oh, great. Okay. So she comes off stage and goes into her trailer, and we're out there in 95-degree heat waiting, because she's cooling off, quieting, you know, probably having a glass of wine or something, I don't know. And we're waiting and waiting and waiting. And then all of a sudden, Ruth Brown, the fabulous rhythm and blues singer, who was also on the festival, walks up, and she's wearing a black bowler hat and a bright pink jacket and pants, and she's carrying a cane, and she's strutting, and Aretha must have seen her through the trailer window. All of a sudden, the door of the trailer opens, and there's Aretha in her underwear, in her bra and panties, going, hey, baby, come on in! And Ruth says, I'm coming, honey, I'm coming. So we're all like, you know, this was before cell phones and Instagram, so there's no photos of this, but we were all like, our eyes
falling
out. You know, and then it was another half hour while they visited waited, and then she finally came out. And she was gracious and wonderful. She answered all the questions. She was very sweet.
So not too much
very
diva.
Sweet. No, not, she's not a diva.
Yeah.
No. I think that's a bad word. You know, I think people, artists, work so hard, and the tour and the schedules they have are horrible. Yeah. I mean, that you have to take into account what they're dealing with,
right,
you know?
Right. Why do you think she's such an icon?
Well, she's American history. You know, her music is historic, and I think she's probably the greatest soul star of the 20th century and into the 21st century as well. She broke down all the barriers. Everybody loved Aretha.
Right.
You know, she comes from the black church, but everybody, white, brown, black, everybody loved her.
Hmm.
And her career stuck, like Renee was just saying, for many, many decades.
Yeah.
Unlike many of today's artists who are here for a while and then the record label drops them and then they get someone else.
Right.
You know, there's never anybody else like Aretha going to happen here.
Yeah. You know? Renee, why do you think she's an icon? And we'd like to go out with your final thoughts to share as we remember Aretha Franklin today.
You know, I think it's very much what Sue said. She was American history. I mean, she spanned so many decades of this country, and there she was. And she was, you know, not to be cliche, but she was that soundtrack. You know, people could relate to where they were at a certain time when Aretha Franklin had a particular song out. And it was also the depth of the songs. It was always more. And people forget, she wrote songs. She arranged songs. She was a beautiful piano player. I mean, it was all these kinds of things. It was just, you know, and on top of that, you know, in my mind, the most rapturous voice in the music history.
All right. Renee Graham, associate editor and columnist for the Boston Globe. Renee, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Deb.
Sue O'Clair, Director of Marketing and Communications for the Cabot in Beverly. She worked with Aretha Franklin when she worked for the Newport Festival. Sue, thanks for coming in as well.
Thank you for having me.
We'll go out with a little bit of Aretha music as well. Stay with us. Coming up, journalists around the country come out against the president's criticism of the news media, but some say this is going to backfire. We'll take your calls. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.